love nothing more than on a Saturday morning to take a cup of coffee and walk down the beach, have our coffee and walk back again. And we did this last bank holiday Monday, and as we got nearer, we experienced something that we've not actually seen before. We were totally and utterly dazzled by the sun. It was a really hazy morning. I don't know what the weather was like here, but the light reflecting off all the water droplets just caused this amazing light that we hadn't seen. It was incredibly bright. We couldn't even really look at the water. And from creation in Genesis, right the way through to the very last chapter of Revelation, the Bible is full of images of light and dark. And we regularly use light and dark as a metaphor, don't we? So we say, he's not in a very good light, or I've been enlightened, or she kept me in the dark. We know what it means, but do we actually live it? And that's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus in Ephesians. Cosmologists tell us that light is the very essence of life, of the universe. In Genesis, God speaks into the dark. God speaks and the light plunges into the dark. It confronts it and it divides it. God raised Jesus from the tomb and he brought him out of the tomb, out of the darkness, both literally and as a metaphor to explain the new life that we have in Jesus. It's probable, I know you've been reading from Ephesians over, I think, August, is that right? Someone was listening. It's probable that the letter to the Ephesians wasn't actually just meant for the church in Ephesus. It was actually a circular going round to lots of churches, and it was talking to the new Christians about how they could live their lives and apply Jesus' teachings to them in their time and culture. And we have four early manuscripts of Ephesians, but actually only one of them out of the four has the name Ephesians on them. The rest don't. And we think that maybe that one ended up having done the rounds in Ephesus and somebody just helpfully put their name on the front. But the first followers of Jesus were learning how to live in a totally new way. They weren't used to it. It was brand new for them, but I think for us, 2,000 years on, we're pretty good in the main about knowing out how it works out, how living for Jesus actually translates into our daily living, even if we don't actually do it. And sadly as well, we read some of the things that are not good to do. The church with a big C has a bit of a reputation for telling people, not just Christians, but other people who don't believe as well, what not to do. And I think because we think we've got it all sorted and we in the main know, it's easy to forget and to be wise and to make the most of every opportunity. As children of light, we are called to imitate our Heavenly Father. And I've already noticed some family similarities here. It's not just in looks, it's in mannerisms as well. I might do a bit more spotting later who's who. I think that happens husband and wife sometimes as well, maybe. You finish each other's sentences. But in the same way, we are called to imitate Jesus, to produce that fruit of light. And that reminds us of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. It's a big list. But for the Ephesians, imitating God's goodness was a surprising thing to hear because they were surrounded by pagan gods. Ephesus was the second largest city at that time in the world. And they were used to pagan gods and people sacrificed to them in the hope that these gods would give them power over their battles or their crops. But for the one true God, it's not about power. His power's not in any doubt. He raised Jesus from the dead. But it's about goodness. And this was surprising for them. Jesus exemplified living in the light. He was so full of God's love, he couldn't help but witness. In fact, his teachings often arose in the context of people asking him questions. Why are you doing this? What's that about? If you look at Luke chapters 5 and 6, for instance, virtually everything Jesus taught was in response to people asking him questions. Why are you living like that? That's different. Conventionality didn't get Jesus noticed. He stood out from the crowd because he followed God and not the culture. In fact, Jesus led such an unconventional life that those who had been looking and waiting for the promised Saviour completely missed him. I'm sure many of you know the verse in 1 Peter, which says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have." Because we will be asked what we're doing and why we're doing it if we're living as children of light. We're called to lead questionable lives, finding out what pleases God and staying away from the things that goes against his plan of reconciliation with the world. Don't even go there. Don't talk about it. Don't dwell on these things, says Paul, or you defile yourself and your imagination with the things that lead to darkness and death. These things dull the light of Christ in us. Darkness hides the ugly realities of sin, but the light exposes them in us and in the world. Lives lived truly in Jesus' light are beautiful. I hope you know people. You must know people. There's people here who just ooze God's light and love and goodness. They're really great to be around. But it's not simply how we behave that matters, which is just as well, because being good all the time is exhausting, isn't it? In verse 8, it doesn't say, "Become light in the Lord." It says, "You are light in the Lord." To the first Christians who were working it out, "You are light in the Lord." We're already light. And I love the fact that you're called Light of Life. I think that is a brilliant name for a church. Our job as children of light is simply to let the Holy Spirit produce the light in us, produce that fruit in us, the goodnessness, the truth and the righteousness. God's Holy Spirit does the hard bit. He transforms us. It's not simply what we do, but it's about who we are. It's about being and not doing. And that's good news for some of us who do a lot of things. The sun wasn't any brighter last bank holiday when we went down there. As far as I know, the sun has no dimmer switch. It's always that bright, but it appeared brighter because of its environment. The haze enhanced the light that was already present. It made it more intense. It magnified its brightness. That is not actually where we live, but I didn't have my camera, so that was just another photo, if you think that is, that's not. God is already present in the world, and our actions either enhance or detract from his goodness. Verse 13 of our reading tells us that everything illuminated becomes a light. It seems to be saying that the light that we give off as followers of Jesus exposes the darkness, showing it up for what it is. It transforms both us and the world. Living differently, living as children of light, cannot but help draw people into God's presence and change things. Anne Lamott writes, "People with purpose, heart, balance, gratitude, joy are people with a deep sense of spirituality, people in community who pray, practice faith, bound together for human rights. They follow a brighter light than the glimmer of their own candle. They're part of something beautiful." I'm told that the human eye can see the light of a single candle in the right conditions up to 14 miles away. How much more do we notice the light when there are lots of them? And that very last verse, verse 21 that we read, tells us to submit to one another. This is certainly countercultural in our materialistic, consumeristic, individualistic society. And it is much easier said than done. But people should notice the beauty of a community of believers. It speaks volumes into the vast loneliness that goes across all of our community, from young to old. And as Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Light is no good if it's hidden. Paul also urges us to encourage each other, just as we've been doing this morning, with psalms and with songs. I know somebody, I have a friend who will purposefully listen to songs with Christian lyrics. She suffers from depression and that helps her to get through the dark periods. Christian songs focus our mind. Whatever is pure, true, right, lovely, praiseworthy, all those things that we're told to think about in Philippians 4, it leaves no room for us to think about the bad things. And just as Paul begins his letter with praise, in verse 20, he again encourages us to thank God. Gratitude is attractive, it's appealing. Grumbling is what the Israelites excelled at, and it's not compatible with the Holy Spirit. Last Monday, when we were at the beach, a dog launched himself into the water. He went off to fetch a ball that had been thrown, and in sheer and utter delight, the little boy that was with him just let out this raucous laughter. And it's lovely, isn't it, when we hear the children laugh. It was brilliant. Light of Life Baptist Church. I love the fact that the abbreviation also stands for laugh out loud. Did you know that when you did? I think it's fantastic. Do you know that God laughs out loud when he sees you? That's what he thinks of you. When he sees you imitating him, it makes him laugh out loud in sheer and utter delight. Rachel Held Evans writes, when hit with the glint of love's light, even ordinary things become holy. God is in the business of transforming ordinary things, ordinary people, into holy people. He transforms bread and wine into a feast and water into choice wine. People empowered by his Holy Spirit are not only leading transformed lives themselves, but we change the place where we are into a place of wholeness and light. Paul exhorts the early Christians to wake up to this fact. But I feel that you're pretty good already at making the most of every opportunity. I was talking to Ray and Jenny last night, and they were saying people here, in the main, everybody gets involved, gets stuck in. That's great. That is really good news. Coming from a larger church where everybody thinks someone else will do it, it's really good news. You live up to your name. You should be smiling now. You live up to your name because God's smiling at you. Light of Life, you were once in darkness, but now you are light, and God delights in you. Don't hide your light, but remember that our brightness depends on allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate us. Do we let him shine through, magnifying his goodness, sparkling like the haze, drawing others to see him in Ormsby and in the surrounding villages? Let's close our eyes and just spend a few moments in prayer. I'm going to read some words of a song. A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Lord, let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would you fill us again with the light of your goodness, righteousness, and truth, casting out the darkness in our lives. May your light purify us, direct us, and be our delight, so that whoever we come into contact with are dazzled by your love. Amen.